This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. They have far more in common than simply the first syllable of the single names they tend to go by. Osteen, you say that word, and nowadays people know who you're talking about. A best-selling author, the pastor of the nation's largest megachurch in Houston, Texas. You can watch it on television many times every week. His reach is probably rivaling, if not exceeding, that of any televangelist out there, although I don't think he regards himself as a televangelist, but as he says, an encourager. Joel Osteen. And he's there every week, preaching in the course of 1 week to more than 50, sometimes upward of 60,000 people in a week, not counting his television audience. And some people look at him and say he must be doing something right. He's exactly the kind of success story that attracts Oprah Winfrey. She loves this kind of success story. She is this kind of success story herself. She has the same kind of reach, the same kind of scope, same kind of influence. So it's only natural that when Oprah, leaving broadcast television, going to her own cable network, started her own show called Oprah's Next Chapter that premiered this last weekend, it seems only natural that the first person she would have on, of all the people that she could have on, presidents, celebrities, movie stars, world-class athletes, you name it, she could have it, that she chose to go to Houston, attend Lakewood Church there, and see for herself what Joel Osteen is all about. Go and sit down with Joel and Victoria Osteen and have an Oprah conversation. Now, we're going to be listening to this interview live this Tuesday afternoon, the 10th of January, and I want your reaction. Oprah and Osteen sitting down for a conversation about his preaching, his ego, what he preaches, what he says, what he doesn't say, his critics, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943 is our call-in number live this Tuesday afternoon for your reaction to Oprah and Osteen, the audio. You can also send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at @issuesetc, or leave your reaction. We've left space for you to do so at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. When you leave your reaction there or when you send your email, make sure you include your city and state where you're listening along with your reaction. Let's get straight into it. This is Oprah's new program called Next Chapter. She's sitting down with Joel and Victoria Osteen in their Houston home to talk about Joel Osteen on many paths to God and on the subject of homosexuality.
How would you explain God to a non-believer?
I would explain God as the creator, a heavenly father, of someone that wants to be in relationship with you. Just as somebody that's for you, as a friend.
Okay, so here's the big question. Are there many paths to get to the one God?
Well, I believe, Oprah, I believe that Jesus is the way to the one God. But I believe there are many paths to Jesus. You know, you don't know how Jesus would reveal himself to somebody. So I'm not into excluding people. Jesus can reveal himself to anybody.
Does that mean that all people, all races, obviously, in your church, we see all people, all races. I can't imagine that you would have 16,000 people in there and none of them would be gay. So are gay people also included?
Absolutely. Anybody is. You know, Oprah, we sometimes maybe the Christian community makes a bigger deal out of being gay. But
will a gay person be accepted into heaven? As you see it?
Well, I believe they will. Mm-hmm. Because I believe that, you have to have forgiveness for your sins. But, sometimes we look at gay being, you know, a bigger sin than being proud or being, you know, not telling the truth. I don't think God categorizes sins. I think we're all changing, and, you know, I'd love to think that we're all going to be without one sin. I hope that's true, but I don't think any of us would make it to heaven. Mm-hmm. Now, I would encourage people to be willing to change and grow, and, if, you know, if you've got a problem with your temper, let's keep growing. But I think that it's going to be open for all of us, or we wouldn't have a chance.
But does that mean that you're saying, because I want to be clear, and I don't want to interpret anything that isn't, does that mean that you're saying that you believe that being gay is a sin?
I believe that homosexuality is shown as a sin in the Scripture. I do. That's just the way. I mean, Oprah, it's a hard thing in a sense because I'm for everybody. I'm not against anybody. I don't think anybody's second class. But when I read the Scripture, I just, with good faith, I can't see that it doesn't show that's not being a sin, that it is a sin.
All right, that's the first little piece of audio between Oprah and Joel Osteen. A couple things to react to, but I want to hear from you. They talked about God. Joel has an interesting take there, doesn't he? He says, well, Jesus is the only way to God, but there are many paths to Jesus. Now, that's in response to Oprah's direct question, are there many paths to God? We know how Oprah answers that question. She's been adamant throughout her career, and increasingly so as her career has progressed. When she talks about matters of spirituality, she believes that there are many, in fact, as many people as there are that many paths to God. Of course, she also believes that God exists primarily within you. So that makes sense. If God exists within you, then each person will have their own path to that little touch of the deity. But Joel's take is a little bit different. Did you hear it? He said he believes that Jesus is the only way to God, but there are many paths to Jesus. Now, that's something, that's a twist I've never heard. What about you? 1-877-623-6943. It's Tuesday afternoon, January the 10th. We are coming to you live. I invite your reaction, your questions, or your comments on this conversation between Oprah Winfrey and Joel Osteen that aired on her show, Oprah's Next Chapter, this weekend on Oprah's network. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or you can leave that reaction, that question, that comment at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. This is the first time I think I've ever seen, and you got to hand it to Oprah in this case, first time I've ever seen Joel Osteen interviewed on the issue of sin where he hasn't been able to very carefully dodge the question. He doesn't like to preach about sin. He believes he's word-faced, so he believes that would only lead to more sin. You just don't talk about it. You talk about things that you want to have occur in your life. You don't talk about sin or defeat or temptation or any of those things. But I think this is the first time I've ever heard anyone pin him down to say this particular thing, in this case, homosexuality, is a sin. But you will notice the way he kind of begged off of it or distanced himself from that a little bit. He said, well, I read it in Scripture. I can't get around it. Almost as though, now he didn't say this, but almost as though he were saying, you know, I wish it weren't that way. I wish that weren't in the Bible, but golly, it is. If I were writing the Bible, I wouldn't have put it in there, but it's in there and I'm kind of stuck with it. Now, I don't know if he meant it that way, but it certainly sounded like he was distancing himself. I'm for all people. I'm not against anybody. But I got to admit that when I read the Bible, I see that homosexuality is a sin. Is that good enough for you? For a man who is often, and nowadays pretty much constantly criticized for laying off the subject of sin almost entirely in his public preaching, Joel Osteen, and his boilerplate reason for not preaching sin is that he's an encourager, and to preach about sin would not be encouraging. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org, that Facebook fan page, for your questions, comments, and reactions. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Well, let's start into some more. Joel Osteen is here talking with Oprah Winfrey in his Houston home about something that many people also criticize him about, his preaching on wealth and blessing.
Today you told a joke at the beginning of the church, and you talked about televangelists. Televangelists have this reputation for being slick, going after people's money, and obviously not being sincere.
Yeah.
How have you been able to cope with that?
Well, knowing that, we try to go overboard to be just the opposite of everything you just said. And I realize...
And you make jokes about it yourself.
Yeah, and I realize it. So I just try to be the opposite, meaning that I'm not asking them for money on television. I'm not trying to, you know, don't try to be slick. I try to be sincere and all that. I just try to be who we are. But, you know, it's a battle we have to fight. But it's interesting how, you know what? People usually know who's sincere and who's not over time. And I think that's what we don't ask for money, and people send in millions of dollars to help us keep the broadcast on the air. And so it's an interesting thing.
Well, that's, I think, refreshing to hear, that Joel is savvy enough to realize that the danger of televangelism, and he is technically a televangelist. The only thing I would quibble about in calling Joel Osteen a televangelist, as I would with so many of them, is that they're not evangelists. They're tele-somethings, but they're not televangelists. An evangelist actually preaches the gospel, Christ and Him crucified for sinners, which Joel very seldom does. Very seldom does. Jesus' example, empower, life coach, encourager, mostly with Joel. And since you avoid the subject of sin, you just really can never logically get to the subject of Jesus on the cross. I'll talk more about that and get your reaction. This break is a great time to call 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-IE. It's audio open lines, issues, etc. this Tuesday afternoon. Thank you for helping us make budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 4 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks for your financial support. And we're looking forward to partnering with you again in 2012. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, issues, etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues, etc. The Issues, Etc. business card, and the Issues, Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues, Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11-inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues, Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Two lives lost instead of one.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
In what is becoming a too frequent tragedy, a hospital in Australia made news for killing the wrong twin in an abortion. The mother of the twin boys had decided to abort one of them when doctors told her the baby had a congenital heart defect. However, things went awry and the healthy baby was injected with lethal drugs instead. In the emergency C-section that followed, both babies ended up losing their lives. Other such cases have been reported in the United States. A Florida doctor lost his medical license in 2010 in a similar incident.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Audio Open Lines. We're going through some conversation that aired on Oprah's new program, Oprah's Next Chapter. She sat down in Houston, Texas, with the nation's pastor of the largest megachurch. He's now being called America's pastor, too. I mean, he is. I always thought that it would be Rick Warren who would fall into the role of Billy Graham, but I think the 21st century Billy Graham is Joel Osteen. I think it is. I don't know if he'll be called that, but he's certainly be called America's pastor. Funny thing is, so has Oprah. She's been called America's pastor, too, I think in a different sense. Now, before we went to the break, we heard Oprah ask the question about televangelism and about wealth and prosperity. And I found it insightful that Joel would say, well, you know, we know about the pitfalls, the weaknesses of that kind of previous model of televangelism. We pretty much endeavor to be the opposite. So they don't ask for money. You do have to hand it to Joel Osteen that with the audience he has, he doesn't ask for money. Does he preach the gospel? No. So you kind of get with one hand and you have it taken with the other. Now, as to sincerity, he says, I just try to be myself. I try to be sincere. I differ with so many of Joel Osteen's critics nowadays in that I actually believe, and this is just a judgment on my part. My impression of Joel Osteen is that he is sincere. Sincerely wrong, but he is sincere. What he preaches, he believes. I think what you see is what you get when you see Joel Osteen out there on the stage or when you read his books. In that sense, he's right. It's true. He really has the rest of televangelism beat in sincerity because that's a commodity that's in very short supply in televangelism, but he is sincere. Now, you may differ with me there. I don't think he's a charlatan in the sense of the guy who knows he's pulling the wool over people's eyes. I think he's a true believer in what he preaches and in his message. And if you were Joel, why wouldn't you be? He says, we got people sending us millions of dollars. He's getting affirmation all the time. He's personally a very wealthy man. He's had this success. He's a young man, and he has the largest megachurch in the United States. And from his perspective, remember, he's a true believer, in my opinion. From his perspective, this is confirmation that what he is preaching and what he is doing is right, and it's what God wants him to do. Now back to Oprah's interview that aired Sunday night on Oprah's Next Chapter. Osteen talks about finances.
Where does the money come from that you live your life, this life with?
This, we don't take a salary from the ministry. About 5 years ago when I wrote that, my first book, I mean, I never dreamed it would sell millions of copies, and so I was able to go off
salary. Your best life now?
Yeah. But it comes from that. We don't take a salary. It comes from books and other things like that. So
do you make any apologies for your grand piano?
I really don't, Oprah. We just feel like this is God's blessings. You know, we're big givers. We live what we preach. We've given millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's anything wrong with having a nice place to live and being blessed.
Especially when you're not taking the money from the people.
No. And money should never be the focus of your life. If that's all you're doing, that's shallow. You should, it should be to be a blessing to others.
Yeah. Well, this really makes Osteen more difficult to unravel. And I'm glad she's asking these kind of questions. These are good questions. She could have softballed him, but she's asking him good questions. Where does the money come from, Joel? I'm sitting in your house, and this is nice. And for Oprah to notice that your house is nice, that means something, right? Where does the money come from, Joel? He doesn't take a salary. Well, I think that's something to be commended. He lives off the proceeds of his several bestsellers, which probably keep him very well taken care of. So in that sense, he's kind of the untelevangelist. This is not a guy who is personally making himself wealthy off of the offerings that he seeks from the many who go to his church. I've been to Lakewood. I've seen what the people who gather there are like. It's people of all different walks of life. But many of them, I should say, at least from my observation, were obviously people of little means. But they come nonetheless. But to his credit, Joel's not taken any of that. Where would we differ? He says he considers it all blessings from God. Is it that? Or is it that he has found a new and perhaps more conscience-pleasing way of fleecing the sheep? 1-877-623-6943. Care to react? 1-877-623-MY-IE. We're listening to Oprah Winfrey interviewing Joel Osteen on her new program, Next Chapter. I think some good questions from Oprah. Joel is always honest, but you got to remember, with Joel, there's only so many things he's willing to say. Honestly say. He doesn't want to talk too much about sin, but I think it's interesting to get some insights into the nature of the I will not call this a ministry, the nature of the enterprise that Joel Osteen now leads. And it is quite a formidable enterprise. 1-877-623-MYIE. You can leave your reaction to our Facebook fan page. We'll get to some of those comments here in just a moment. Facebook.com/issuesETC. Make sure you leave your city and state, or you can send us an email right here in the studio on this Tuesday afternoon, January the 10th. talkback@issuesetc.org. Up next, Osteen talks about his critics.
Some of the criticism is that you're preaching prosperity. I was reading some of the critics, and I was thinking, well, why would anybody criticize you for preaching prosperity? Because what kind of God wants you to be poor and miserable?
That's the way I feel as well. I mean, I don't know who would say, you know, that you're not supposed to, you know, leave your children better than you were before. And plus, Oprah, prospering, it's not just, you know, material things. It's peace in your mind and health in your body and things like that. And so there's a belief that you're supposed to suffer more and be poor and to show your humility. I don't see the Bible that way. I see that God came to, you know, Jesus died that we might live an abundant life and to be a blessing to others. I can't be a big blessing to people if I'm poor and broke and depressed and I don't feel good about myself.
If you're poor, broke, and depressed, is that because you're not praying enough, or you're not, something you said today, it was really great, about getting with God. And it's what I often say, this same of trying to be aligned with what God wants for you. Do you think that if you're poor and broke and depressed, it's because you're not praying enough or not in alignment?
No, I think it's... I think it's a mixture of things. I don't think it's just not praying enough, because there are some great people that are just, you know, haven't broken through in that area. And I think that, you know, there are forces trying to hold us all down. And a lot of people haven't been trained and they haven't been inspired that, hey, you know what, you're in the projects, but you don't have to stay there. God's got a plan for your life, and you believe and you pray and you do everything you can. So I think a lot of it is just, we just accept this. This is the way my family's always been. Mm-hmm. We're always broke. We're always defeated. We're always... But you know what? Somebody can rise out of it. You did. Tyler did. I mean, you look at that.
All right. That's an interesting take on wealth and poverty. What do you think? 1-877-623-6943. Scott's listening on his cell phone. Hi, Scott. Thanks for waiting.
Oh, no problem, Rob. Todd, thanks for taking my call. Two comments. One to kind of springboard off something you said, and then the other one on another topic. You mentioned that he's called America's pastor, and then you kind of also mentioned that Oprah is sometimes called America's pastor too. And to me, that kind of reflects the rubric is used of success. You know, and in our society, people think, well, if someone's successful, then they must be doing things right, which is kind of seems to me a bleed over of left hand kingdom things into the right-hand kingdom, which they really don't belong there. That was the first comment. And the second comment was, you know, we've seen through history of where various people modify the word slightly, from a top-level viewpoint, and it's actually a major mod in terms of God's plan, but they make minor mods, like, for example, the part you just played on why you're rich and you're poor, and it sounds awful good to us, and it can be very well received. So those are my two comments.
Scott, thank you very much. What you're trying to describe there, I think, in your second comment is what is usually called twisting scripture. It's just distorted enough to still kind of resemble the original, but it isn't the original. So Joel Osteen says, well, you know, I'm not going to say like the other televangelists that if you're poor, you're not praying hard enough, or you don't believe hard enough. He even has a little twist on that. He says, you need to be convinced that you can do better. That's the Joel Osteen way of talking about it. Janet's listening in St. Louis. Hi, Janet.
Hi. I was just thinking, though, about one thing Jesus said. He said there would always be the poor. So, unfortunately, I think he's right, and that's just the way life is.
Janet, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in St. Louis. Well, you know, in Joel's model, and you got to understand that Joel has a theological foundation, and this comes from his father, John, who was the predecessor at Lakewood, a word faith teaching, which is in a nutshell, you've heard name it and claim it, or prosperity gospel. Those are usually the kind of terms of art that we use for word faith. But it's basically that God has been evicted from creation by man's fall, and the only way that God gets to exercise any of his divine authority in creation is by man exercising words of faith, that is a positive confession. And when you do that, then you permit God, you release God to do something for you. And usually it's to bless you and prosper you. And of course, you can also speak words of unbelief too, which binds God's hands and brings poverty. That's the theological foundation underneath Joel Osteen. Make no mistake about it. We'll hear more from Oprah Winfrey and Joel Osteen and you after this.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7. 618-223-8384.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. Issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, January the 10th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little audio open lines and your reaction to Oprah Winfrey and Joel Osteen from her show this weekend, the Oprah's Next Chapter. Here's a book that Joel Osteen could not have written. Quite frankly, it's a book about Christian suffering, and he doesn't want to talk about suffering. He wants to talk about prosperity. But of course, we all know that what marks the true Christian is the theology of the cross, living a life lived in the shadow of the cross. Listen to this from our Issues Etc. book of the month for January. It's called The Problem of Suffering, a Father's Hope. We mourn, we believers, we Christians. We might as well say we mourn with the hope in the middle of suffering. Hope is what the God of mercy gives us through the word of absolution, through baptism, through the Lord's Supper. These are the ways and the means of God's mercy to us. Through them, hope becomes our method. This is written in the midst of some unspeakable suffering that you'll find in this book called The Problem of Suffering, A Father's Hope, The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for January. I highly recommend this book, but I also suggest that when you sit down to read it, you brace yourself, because it's one of those kind of books that will leave you changed when you're done reading it. And I don't say that about many, if any, other books. It's a great book. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order The Problem of Suffering, A Father's Hope, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. One more comment before we go back to Joel Osteen and Oprah Winfrey. He said there in that bite that Jesus died to bring us an abundant life. Sounds good, doesn't it? But remember how Joel understands this. Jesus died to kind of facilitate you being able to speak abundance into your own life through words of faith. He died in order to kind of open the door just a little crack for God to kind of get his toe into creation so that you could speak words of faith and God could do something about it. It is a far cry from the Jesus who dies as an atoning sacrifice for your sin to restore to you completely by faith the full riches of God that do not depend one bit upon what you say or don't say, but depend entirely upon the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It is a different gospel. Next, more on how Joel Osteen handles criticism.
When you, in the beginning, were first being criticized by people who were more fundamentalists, who were more orthodox, more strict in their beliefs, that there's not enough doctrine, there's not enough Christ in the message.
Sure. Well, you know, again, Oprah, I try to get up every morning and just search my own heart and say, God, am I doing what you want me to do? And I feel like if I can be pure and feel good before God, that I don't have to, you know, I always want to listen to people and receive good criticism, but I just feel like I don't have to answer them. I have to answer to God. And so I just try to stay focused on what God's called me to do.
You know what's interesting? After Mother Teresa died, and Mother Teresa is the iconic figure for giving and love and peace and faith in the world, and after she died, we found out that even she had moments where she doubted her faith. Have you ever doubted or questioned your faith?
You know, I don't want to sound super spiritual, but I don't really believe I have. I just, I grew up in this, and I, you know, even in the difficult times.
So you have never doubted?
I really haven't. And I don't
so you walk the walk, you just don't talk it.
Well, I believe I do, and I don't want to. I never have. I wouldn't go that route if something happens. It's more of turning to my faith and God. We need your help in these times, and so it hadn't been like that.
Now you got to understand why Joel gave that answer. First of all, he whiffed on the critics tell you that you don't preach Christ. He whiffed on that. You notice he just said, "Well, I can sleep at night." That was his answer. I can sleep at night. I've got a clear conscience about it. When he was asked as a Christian preacher from Oprah Winfrey, of all people, why don't you preach Christ more? He just ignored the question. But you got to understand why he must say he has never doubted. Because if he says he has, he invalidates everything he believes in. If he says he's doubted, then he has to admit that he has at times spoken words that don't release God's power into the world to prosper him. His entire message to his followers is, you must constantly be thinking positive thoughts, speaking positive words, regarding yourself in a positive way. And if Joel were to say he ever doubted, see, you would think, wouldn't that humanize him? Wouldn't that make him sound more like one of us if he admitted that he has his doubts? But he can't. This isn't ego. This is his theology driving him. If he says he doubts, or he has, it's not just admitting a fault. It is inviting into his life in that moment the destructive power of the devil, according to his theology. So he won't say it. He will not say it. From Facebook, Jim says, and he's listening in Evansville, Indiana, neither party knows anything about historical biblical Christianity, law, and gospel. Well, Jim, I think you're probably right, but it's still an interesting conversation. It's interesting to see what Christianity sounds like if you detach it from history and from sound doctrine. Well, in our final excerpt from Oprah Winfrey's next chapter, Oprah brings Joel's wife, Victoria, into the conversation.
When you see your husband on stage with 70,000 people, as he was describing the Yankee Stadium moment, do you think that he has ascended to that place in America where he has become America's preacher, the world's preacher?
I think he has. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think that the people are hungry for a message of hope. I think that they've been beat down long enough. I mean, you can beat your own self up. You don't need anybody to do it for you. And I just believe that the way he presents it, not in a simple, but just a non-judgmental manner, I think people can receive that from him.
Do you see yourself? Well, you tell me, what do you see as the vision for this ministry?
You know, our vision, Oprah, is to throw a wide net of hope all over the world to get people to realize that God is good, that he's for them, and he's got a great plan for their life. And when I say wide, it's especially not just the church world, because, you know, that's the world I grew up in, but I want to get outside those walls to everyday people, people that say, hey, I'm not a religious person or all that, but I think there's, you know, when you make God real and practical, then all of a sudden they realize, hey, I don't have to be, quote, religious to have a relationship with God.
What do you say to people who say, I'm not real? Because I hear this all the time. People say, I'm not really religious, but I'm really spiritual. Mm-hmm. What is your response to that?
Well, like Joel said, it's really a relationship with God. You know, I have people tell me, well, I'm Catholic or I'm this. But, you know, really, what is your relationship with God? What do you believe about God? Where is your spirituality?
And we're living in a country now where so many people have been raised or were raised under doctrine and dogma, and they feel so beaten down by the guilt and the punishing, wrathful God that when they hear religious speak or the word spirituality, there's an immediate connection to all of that for which for them has been negative. How do you respond to people who they want something more, but they don't want to be punished?
Yeah, I think just what you said, that's the era that we're living in, that so much of God has been portrayed as, you know, mad and out to get them and just the rules and the regulations. But, you know, I know our message is, you know, about the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. When you tell people, hey, you can become a great father, you can overcome that addiction, or you can move past that disappointment, I think that's when people respond. And it's not, you know, I don't know. I think the reason some churches don't grow or some of them have been stagnant is because, you know, people are already beaten down enough by life. We need people telling us that God is on our side and that he's got a plan for us.
Problem is, in Joel's theology, there's absolutely, and listen to him preach anytime you want, there's absolutely no way for you to know why God is on your side or even if he is. Other than Joel saying, well, God's on your side. How do you know that God's on your side? How do you know that God is for you? Oprah misses it. I can't blame Oprah. She stopped being a Christian years ago, okay, by her own admission. Joel misses it. He thinks he's a Christian, but he's abandoned the Christian gospel. It's hard to believe how someone can remain a Christian. Maybe in the depths of his heart, he still trusts in the atoning work of Christ at the cross for him. Maybe that's still there someplace. Or maybe, sadly, it's been supplanted by his faith in his own abilities, in his own capacity, in his own potential. I don't know. It's hard to tell. But you can know that God is for you in one way and one way only. It's not that when you pray, he answers. Or it's not that when you say positive things tend to happen. It's not that you prosper. It's not that you get a better parking space, as Joel is often wont to point out. Or even that you feel that God is for you and that he's good. The only way that any of us, Oprah, Joel, you, me, can know that this God is for us, in spite of our sin, in spite of our rebellion, in spite of what we have earned, the wages of sin is death, is that man hanging dead on a cross, that Jesus that got honorable mention in this conversation, but when Oprah says, why don't you preach that, he had no answer. That man hanging beaten and bloody on the cross, Jesus Christ, for you. That's how you know that God is good. That's how you know God is for you. That's how you know your sins are forgiven. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., Doug Grotheis will join us to talk about the worldview of Lady Gaga. Then Thursday, we'll talk with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, reacting to our interview with Catherine Jeffert Shorey. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.